We have to have some confidence in us here. And it's not that I'm not confident, but I'll remember run out of the room. No, you're on your own. Great.
There you
Thank
are.
You. Thank you so much, Wendy. So as Wendy said, my name is Karen, and I'm actually leading more or less a bi-coastal life these days. I am a graduate student at Hopkins in Baltimore, but my first home has really been Los Angeles, where I've been working with a collaborative of the UCLA School of Public Health with Dr. Michael Liu, students and staff, and the LA County Maternal and Child Health. So some of the data I'm going to talk about is concerning work that we've been doing, focusing on unintended pregnancy and delayed entry into prenatal care among Mexican-American moms, Mexican women in LA County. And I have no relationships to disclose. I just got married, so.
So it's Karen Menendez's caller.
So now I'm a caller, yeah.
Oh, you're a caller.
Yeah. In terms of significance for this work, the reason I am so interested in Latina health and other researchers are as well is because of their significantly high fertility rates. It's about 2 times greater than white moms, and the bulk of those births really occur to Mexican women, a significant population in LA County. Ages between 20 and 24 is the age group with the highest fertility when compared with any other racial or ethnic group. At the same time that there's high fertility rates, there's also this widening gap in unintended birth that has been noticed in a recent report that came out of the California Department of Health Services that found that U.S.-born women, about 60% of them said that their births weren't unintended compared to 44% among foreign-born. And that's fairly high for both of them. Unintended pregnancy may be associated with more detrimental behaviors during pregnancy, including delayed prenatal care access. And there's been some really valuable data that's been out there, and researchers have been looking at this question using data from the National Survey of Family Growth, or NSFG, and also some clinical hospital samples and prenatal care clinics. But since that data has been coming from those more clinical samples, oftentimes it'd be more reflective of the samples that are being studied than the population in general. A lot of good work has also been addressing unintended pregnancy among young teen Latinas, but no previous study has really focused on adult Latinas using more of a population level approach rather than a clinical sample. And Latinas are especially important because they tend to delay prenatal care more than other racial and ethnic groups. And at the same time, they approach pregnancy with oftentimes suffering from conditions such as diabetes or hypertension, which could benefit from being controlled in prenatal care. The distribution of pregnancies in Los Angeles County, as you can see, it's a pretty concentrated county. We had about 150,000 babies born in 2003. One of every 4 babies born in California was born in LA County. And 45% are Latino, so it's a highly high-priority population for the county itself. So the study aims that I want to talk a little bit about is try to describe unintended births among Mexican women, their background, and some of the psychosocial characteristics. And I'm going to try to assess the importance of unintended birth for prenatal care use in light of social support in women's lives. And for Latinas, a lot of attention has been placed on social support as a valuable conduit for better health during pregnancy. But at the same time, with these increasing percentages of unintended birth and potentially decreasing social support the longer women are here, no one has really looked at the combination and how it might influence prenatal care. So it's an important thing to address. And this is the conceptual framework that we've been using to guide our work. So going from left to right, you can see that we're hypothesizing that social demographic characteristics such as age, status, a marital status, education, maternal acculturation are really going to influence women's attitudes towards pregnancy, the subjective norms they feel regarding pregnancy, and the perceived behavioral control in becoming pregnant. And those three, in turn, really underlie whether a pregnancy is deemed intended or unintended by a woman. So in our analysis, we're focusing on women's perceptions, but also there's this interest in male perceptions of pregnancy intentions, too. And we're going to be looking at this association right here between unintended birth and prenatal care use, and also seeing if perhaps unintended birth really works through social support to influence prenatal care utilization. And social support may explain the relationship between unintended birth and prenatal care use. The design, it's basically a cross-sectional analysis of 2005 data from the Los Angeles Mommy and Baby Project. This is a biannual follow-back population-based survey of women reporting a live birth in LA County. It's very similar to PRAMS in methods. It's a mixed mode, male with telephone follow-up, and it's a stratified random sample drawn from birth certificate data. And the real power in the LAM and the importance of it really lies in this random sample approach that takes women from each of the 8 service planning areas in LA County and makes a sample fully representative. So for the first time, community-based organizations or local neighborhoods are actually going to be able to get health indicators that are most relevant to their community instead of just using generalized data from LA County or even like state statistics. So the sample of Mexican women in the 2005 survey were about 1,200 moms. Reproductive age were included for this analysis, and postpartum, Mexican descent, of course. The main outcome of interest that I'm going to talk about today is going to be delay in initiation of care. We're also interested in continuity of care once moms entered prenatal care, but that's another issue for another conversation. The primary independent variables, birth intentions, were looked at by classifying women who had a missed time pregnancy, or, you know, specifically women who wanted to become pregnant later than they wanted, or an unwanted birth. An unintended birth was compared with intended births. At the same time, we try to address whether there was a difference in women who reported they had an unintended birth by contraceptive use, yes or no. And social support, we created a scale using 6 separate items that really target women's instrumental, emotional, and informational support. And we asked if women were able to receive these types of help if they needed them during pregnancy. At the same time, I wanted to look at satisfaction with partner support and whether being satisfied or unsatisfied with partner support, just a clear-cut dichotomy, presented an issue. So we did bivariate and multivariate analysis to examine factors associated with unintended birth and looking at differences by contraceptive users and non-users among unintended births. And then multivariate adjusted models, estimating the effect of unintended birth on delaying prenatal care. So these are some of the characteristics of women in the LAM, and I'll just precede this by saying that this is a very representative sample of the population of Mexican moms in LA County. You see, in terms of duration, there is an increasing percentage of moms who are more long-term immigrants, which is not something that you will see in other cities, where a larger percentage of the group tends to be more newer immigrants. And about 40% of moms were U.S.-born. And when it came to primary language that they felt more comfortable speaking, close to 50% said that they still felt more comfortable speaking in Spanish, even though they have been here for a long duration of time. And in other aspects in their life, you would consider them fairly acculturated. Language, it wasn't. About a quarter spoke English, and another quarter spoke English and Spanish combined. And you see that the group tends to be clustered among moms ages 20 to 24 and 25 to, I mean, 20 to 24 and 25 to 34. In terms of parity, they're evenly split between first births, second births, and third or higher order births. The population tends to be highly low income, reporting low levels of education. About 50% were married, 45% were not insured, yet they did report having a usual place for healthcare before pregnancy, 60% of them. In terms of stress, we're surprised to find that the stress score is actually fairly low for Mexican women in the LAM. For the stress score, we combine a series of about 12 items that were indicative of stressful life events during pregnancy. And you see that on average, women report having about 1 stressful life event or so. However, depressive symptoms were fairly high, about 43%, and pretty consistent with the percentages you would find in national samples. In terms of social support, our social support score, those the list of help items that I explained before, if women were able to receive them if they needed it, on average, women said that they could receive help in 4 out of those 6 circumstances. So it's fairly high. It's pretty good. Instead of having this decrease in social support the longer women are here, we're seeing that support overall seems fairly consistent. And satisfaction with partner support was high as well, although this changes much more when you look at women based on pregnancy intentions. So this is a distribution of unintended birth by nativity and duration of time for women. And you see that the findings are consistent with what was reported from the California DHS. However, this data really adds to that information because it allows us to see a trend from going from a high percentage of intended births to a low percentage of intended births the longer women are here, including U.S. born. And unintended pregnancies increase across time. Now over here, the yellow and I guess the aqua green color, that aqua green color describes women who did not use birth control yet reported their pregnancy was unintended. And you see that there's a spike in that among moms who were U.S. born. So although in all the other groups, Women seem to be fairly split between contraceptive users and non-contraceptive users, while reporting an unintended birth among US-born non-contraceptive users tend to be a little bit more higher. So what I'm going to show in the next couple of slides is just some factors associated with unintended birth. The first column really shows the bivariate analyses, and the second are more of the adjusted results. I'm going to focus on those, and also the last two columns, which divide women who reported an unintended birth by whether they used birth control before pregnancy or not. And you see that being a long-term immigrant or US-born is highly associated with increased odds of reporting a pregnancy as unintended. And in adjusted models, this relationship remains for US-born women. So what we see with the graphical representation I just showed. When you divide women by birth control, you see that the large majority of that population tends to be non-birth control users who are US-born. Young women ages 18 to 24 seem to report having increased odds of an unintended birth while they were planning to delay, while they were using contraception. And high parity seems to be associated with an unintended birth regardless of birth control use. So the results for education were kind of interesting. Women who had 12 years of education had 51% increased odds of reporting their birth was unintended when compared with moms who had a greater education, so they're at an increased risk. Yet when you look at adjusted findings, this relationship drops, and in fact, women who had less education are at decreased odds of reporting a birth as unintended. So it seems like women who have less education are more likely to report their pregnancies, feel their pregnancies are intended. And this relationship is most consistent with moms who are trying to delay. So perhaps something about partner support, partner involvement, at least they had talked about pregnancy, they're trying to delay together, that when they become pregnant, they're still thinking, okay, well, maybe it's intended and it's not so much unintended. Being single was associated with unintended birth, and having no usual place for health care was associated with an increased odds of unintended birth among non-contraceptive users. And just the last three psychosocial indicators, we see that unintended birth is associated with greater stress, greater depressive symptoms during pregnancy, and lack of satisfaction with partner support. The overall social support score was not significant. But there are clear differences when you look at the data by birth control use. You see that depressive symptoms are more likely among moms who did not use birth control, and lack of partner satisfaction seems to be higher among moms who did not use birth control either. This is important because a lot of some research has postulated that perhaps the more women try to delay a pregnancy, the more difficult a time they're going to have when they actually become pregnant. But this data seems to say that moms that weren't using contraception at all tend to have a tougher time. So this is the distribution of prenatal care access in Los Angeles, and you see how it has increased drastically over the last 10 years. It's almost hitting Healthy People 2010 objectives. Now, this differs when you look at Latina women. It's more around 86%. It's closer to the state estimate in blue. And a lot of these improvements in prenatal care have really attributed to an intricate network of safety net clinics and social services and initiatives at the county health department that have really worked to get women into prenatal care access on time, and also, if eligible to Medicaid, allowed them to become insured. Unfortunately, a lot of those programs are right now being cut because of budgetary reasons at the state, so we're going to see what happens with the impact of that. When looking at the relationship between unintended birth and delay into prenatal care, unintended birth is associated with an increased odds of delay. When we're controlling for things like nativity, language, age, whether women had a usual place for health care, and stress during pregnancy. However, when we included psychosocial factors such as depressive symptoms and satisfaction with partner support, that relationship seems to drop. It seems like quality of partner support may be more important. And what we're really surprised was when you include in final data analysis, when you included sociodemographics such as marital status and education, depressive symptoms and satisfaction with partner support don't seem to be associated with delayed entry into prenatal care at all, which is pretty surprising for Latina women, where the value has been put on support and a lot of programs are focusing on support. And in the final model, which included a series of structural barriers that women commonly have when accessing prenatal care, such as I'm not able to make my prenatal care visit because of transportation, I couldn't make an appointment via phone, I didn't know where to go, We found that education was actually the strongest factor associated with delayed entry to prenatal care for women who had 12 or less years of education. They had over two times, they were two times more likely to delay entry, which is significant given that in LA County and most Mexican populations, only a few of us really have education higher than 12 years of age, I mean 12 years of school. And distance to prenatal care was a significant factor. And this was important because issues such as transportation weren't an issue at all. It was more this geographical distance that really proved to be a barrier to prenatal care. And having to go to prenatal care clinic that's 15 miles or more away is very common in LA County. So it's a significant barrier. I mean, that's just what we do. If women aren't going at all because of the distance, that's a significant issue. So, and lastly, we found that women who did not know they were pregnant before, within the first 3 months of their pregnancy, had over two times greater odds of delaying entry into prenatal care. And I'm really curious about this group of women here because there's been some research that tends to suggest that it might be representative of denial of pregnancy and it might be more indicative of a truly, truly unwanted birth, but haven't really seen much more about it. So in conclusion, unintended birth is associated with less positive health for women during pregnancy, including less satisfaction with partner support and depressive symptoms among women who were not using contraception. And it was surprising that traditional measures of unintended birth didn't seem to be associated with prenatal care access, and also that social support score, or partner satisfaction wasn't associated with women getting into prenatal care. Lack of knowledge of pregnancy was associated with delayed PNC, and there needs to be more research that really tries to understand who these women are. But what I think is really interesting is that MCH programs really need to promote improving women's lives. So improving women's education, improving the availability of healthcare systems close by. I think a lot of programs internationally looking at unintended pregnancy tend to address education as a truly empowering tool for women and trying to get them to have autonomy and be able to access healthcare when they want, to have the skills to do this. But unfortunately, I don't see that as much domestically where, you know, naturally our emphasis tends to be on access to care and insurance and all these issues that are significant. But if simply education could help improve things, then we're really missing the boat. So, and I was going to talk about a qualitative supplement I've been doing, but I think I'll skip that and just really acknowledge my collaborators, Donna Strabino, my mentor at Hopkins, my Department of Population, Family, and Reproductive Health, the awesome team of the Los Angeles Mommy and Baby Project at LA County, and at UCLA, Dr. Michael Liu and his students and staff, and especially wanted to acknowledge Angie Otignano because she's been a particularly supportive as I've been away from Baltimore. And some of my funding comes from CDC, so I thought I'd acknowledge them too. So thank you. Oh, and I'm leaving you with this mural that some of the women I've been working with painted. And on the left, you see that they were asked to paint what are some of the things, how they envision Los Angeles to be, what they would want it to be. And they said they want to have maternal and child health access, this community group where they go. They want green parks for their kids to play at, and they want schools. So maybe education should be more of a priority than it is now. So anyways, that's it.
Are there any questions for Mrs. Collar?
I was curious about the birth control, yes and no. Like a birth control method?
Yeah. So the majority of the women reported using condoms, like overwhelmingly. I think it was 60% used condoms. And there was like a smattering of pill use, some IUD, natural family planning, but condom was overwhelmingly it. So I didn't get to talk about the qualitative piece, but I'm really finding that I think intendedness really has to do with the context of the pregnancy. And for Mexican women, sometimes it's less about planning and more about what happens when the baby is born, if their partner's there or not. So I don't know. I think perhaps they allow the partner to have control over the contraceptive method. And as long as they stay them with them, then they're fine with the pregnancy and they will deem it intended or not.
A second part of my last question, if that's okay, is interesting. With the LAM data, do you have birth outcome data also? And were you able to look at sort of this intention and unintention and late entry into prenatal care in terms of the birth outcome? And did you see a disparity there?
Yeah, I haven't. But I actually think other researchers at the county are doing that. Or we had a series of presentations here in the last 2 days. So I'm not sure. Eunice is actually part of the team, but I don't know. If some people might be looking at it. The data is there, and I'm pretty sure they're going to start looking at it too.
Because that's kind of the context of what you're saying. Yeah. If they get in late, then they're not taking care, and then they might have a poor outcome, right? Yeah.
The only thing is that with unintended birth, I think sometimes it's hard to find a direct association with pregnancy outcomes.
Yeah.
So I think that was my interest in trying to see if there was a relationship with behaviors more, and that in turn influencing the pregnancy outcomes. So
it's a pretty blunt measure too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a measure of satisfaction and timing.
Yeah.
But it's what we mostly use right now.
Yeah, and I actually admire Dr. Hiller said a lot of her work on unintended birth. But yeah, I think people are trying to really study that topic a little bit more and develop better indicators, I would say. Yeah. So.
Are there any more questions? Well, I want to thank these speakers. I think that these were really rich presentations, and we were very fortunate.